بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تعالى في شان حبيبه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد علماء کرام, respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters and all who are listening on the audio streaming and the receivers. We continue with the incidents related by Hazrat Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi in his world famous book, The Masnavi Sharif. And these stories or incidents or anecdotes, they may not be true stories or factual events, but from these Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali draws and infers many inspirations and lessons. So thus far we have completed quite a few of these anecdotes, and inshallah today we will cover also one amongst the many anecdotes that have been recorded by Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali in his great work, The Masnavi Sharif. Now this anecdote is relating to a competition or a contest that took place between the Chinese and the Romans. The Chinese and the Romans competed with one another, and this competition was a competition of art and decoration. The Chinese boasted that they are very good at art and decoration, and the Romans, not wanting to be left behind, they also made a claim of being very good at art and decoration. So this resulted in a competition between the Chinese and the Romans. And this competition resulted in a kind of a lot of publicity, because the matter reached even the king of the time. So the king of the time said, look, you both are making claims, both are claiming to be masters and experts in the field of art and decoration, but we will have to put you to the test to see who is successful and who is better than the other. So a agreement was signed or was concluded between the king and the Romans and the Chinese that we shall hold a contest, a competition will be held, and on so and so date both parties were given a time to complete their projects, and they requested that they should be given a place whereby they can conclude their artwork. So the king made available for them a huge hall, and they agreed to split the hall in half, that half will go to the Chinese and half will go to the Romans. So all the arrangements were made, and there was a lot of excitement in the kingdom that now we are going to see such a competition and a contest between two nations who both claim to be masters and experts in their field of art and decoration. We shall see which of them has the greater capability and which one of them wins the contest. Obviously, they could not have
both sides seeing what the other was doing, because then the secrets would be out. So an arrangement was made that there was like a temporary partition between the two parties in the hall. A partition was set in the center, and one half of the hall was given to the Chinese and the other half was given to the Romans. And they were given a deadline by which to finish, and they set about their work in earnest. The Chinese were working day and night as they normally do. They were working very hard in decorating their side. Romans were also working. And as the deadline was looming, both parties were working harder and harder to try and finish, until the day arrived when the result was to be announced after the king did the judging. The king was the judge in this contest, and the king, went into the Chinese section first, and when he went to the Chinese section, he saw that they had really indeed decorated very beautifully. The walls were covered in beautiful artwork, most delicate colors were used, and wonderful images they had painted on the walls, and it was really looking very, very beautiful and exquisite. The king was full of praises for the Chinese, and he was overwhelmed by the beauty of their artwork. Then he said, "Now we have seen the achievement of the Chinese, and it is very impressive. Now let us go and see what the Romans have done." So the Roman said, "Your Honor, you will not be able to appreciate our work unless you are able to do a direct comparison between us and what the Chinese have done at the same time. We will have to move this temporary partition out completely. And when this partition is completely moved out, then you will see their work and you will see our work, and you will be able to do a comparison between the two. And then you will be able to decide which of the two is better." So the king was very pleased with the suggestion, and he fully agreed that the only way to appreciate what the other side have done is that you must compare the two at the same time. If you compare it separately, then maybe you will not be able to get the full benefit. But if you view them side by side together, then you will be able to get the best impression or the best idea of which of the two is better. So the Romans requested that for a while all must be told to leave the rooms. Only they were there, and they themselves took out the partition from the center, and then they called the king in. When the king came in, he was most astonished at what he saw. What he saw left him dumbstruck, because what he saw is that whatever the Chinese had done on their wall, exactly the same thing came on the Roman side, but it appeared even more beautiful and even more subtle. So the king was surprised. He said, "How could you people, when you did your thing separately, how could you have copied that image to the detail, ditto, as we would say? Like a carbon copy." That was in the olden days. Now you talk of photocopy or a clone or whatever. That one is exactly like this. So the king was quite astonished, and he was more impressed with the appearance of the Roman image than even the Chinese image, because the Roman image had a lot of subtlety about it. It was very subtle too at the same time. There the colors were quite striking, or what we would say, but loud. And here they were very soft colors. But everything was the same. So the king asked them, he said, okay, I declare you the winner. They were very pleased and happy. Then he asked them, that explain to me the secret, how did you achieve this? So they said, O king, we did not do any painting at all. All we did was we cleaned these walls and we rubbed them down and we finished the surface in such a way that it became a mirror image, it would become a mirror image of the opposite side. That was all we did. And the result is, all what is on this side is reflected on that side, but as you said, that it is reflected with even more beauty, because it's not the actual image, it is a reflection. And that reflection has that subtlety, and that is why it looks so much more beautiful. So the king was really, really impressed by their strategy and the capability, and he gave them the reward. Now, the story has come to an end. But this is the part where Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali draws the moral from this whole story. And what is the moral? Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali draws a fantastic moral out of this whole story when he says that the difference between the Abideen and the Ahlullah is like the difference between the Chinese and the Romans. The Abideen, those who engage in a lot of outward acts of ibadah, they fast a lot, and they read a lot of Nafil Salah, and they engage in outward a'mal and actions. Indeed, the a'mal, the actions, etc. is very beautiful. Right. But, on the other hand, you have the Arifin, the Ahlullah. They make an effort on the heart, and they put more emphasis on the purification of the heart. So those outward a'mal, they reflect on the beauty of the heart of the Arifin. And the Arifin, by virtue of the purification of the inner selves, more beauty reflects of their a'mal than those who do a lot of outward ibadat, but the heart has not been polished and cleansed to that extent. So that reflection will not be as beautiful as it is in the case of the Arifin. So this is a subtle point that Hazrat Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali makes to show the importance of Tazkiyah Batin, to show the importance of Tazkiyah to Nafs, the purification of the heart, and to make an effort on the heart, and to cleanse the heart, because that is such a thing that the beauty of a'mal will reflect even greater from a heart that is pure, a heart that is shining. Like that wall that was cleansed and purified and adorned, that it started to shine and reflect. Like that, that heart will become a heart that will be purified and cleansed, and it will reflect and it will shine. So now, to understand the example, this was the principle. Now to understand this in the way of some examples. Amongst the awliya Allah, there is one category of awliya Allah who are called the qalandars. Qalandar. Qalandar is one category of the awliya Allah. A qalandar is that person, that wali of Allah, that his nafil ibadat comparatively is less. You will not see such a person engaging in a lot of nafil salah and a lot of nafil amal. But this person's heart is continuously this person's heart is constantly and continuously connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that not even for a single second is this person ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's constantly aware of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's constantly in a state of ihsan. He's constantly in a state of ihsan. There isn't a moment in which he is in a state of ghaflat. Example I had given a few weeks ago in one of our informal majlises of Hazrat Masihul Ummat Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Jalalabadi Rahmatullah Alayhi, that Hazrat had such a high level of ihsan, and really those who saw Hazrat Wala was not a person who outwardly was engaging all the time in lot of nafil ibadat, other than the normal acts of ibadah. Most of the day he was busy in lessons and majalis and islah and tarbiyat and replying to letters and all of those things. But Allahu Akbar, his level of ihsan was such that never did he sleep at night or even in the daytime stretch his feet out, because he would say that how can I stretch my feet out when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. So he always slept even with his legs curled, and when he sat too, it was always with his legs curled. He never stretched his feet out at any time. Now this is not some law or order of the Sharia, but this was his level of ihsan, that he was so conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times that he would never stretch his feet out. Because of the consciousness of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we can imagine what must be his spiritual maqam and what must have been his spiritual state, that constantly and continuously he was in a state of ihsan and fully aware of the presence of Allah Rabbul Izzat and not ghafil for a moment. So these are that category of Ahlullah who are called the Qalandar. A Qalandar is that person that outwardly his amal and ibadat are less, but internally and in his heart, he's constantly in amal of the heart. He's constantly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's constantly conscious of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is who we refer to as a Qalandar. So again we come back to the same point that I was making earlier on, the principle that was explained by Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, that the Ahlullah, they make such an effort on their hearts that their heart become like a mirror, pure, clean, cleansed, in which the beautiful amal are reflected even more beautifully, because of the purification of the heart. Another example that comes to mind is the example of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an was not a sahabi who engaged in a lot of nafil ibadat, etc., other than what everyone else was doing. Neither did he narrate a lot of ahadith, like say for example Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha or Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an or Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an or Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an or the other famous sahaba who used to narrate a lot of ahadith. He was not a sahabi of that type. Yet he had, of course, the knowledge, and he knew many things which others did not know. His knowledge was greatest amongst all the Sahaba. But he was not famous for these things. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the highest rank from all the Sahaba-i-Kiram. highest position from all is that of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, such that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to take the iman of my whole ummah and place it on one side of a scale, and take the iman of Abu Bakr Siddiq and put it on the other side of the scale, his iman will outweigh the iman of the rest of mankind and the ummah. That was the level of iman in his heart. So the ulama have stated that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not achieve this position لا بِكَثْرَةِ riwayati وَلَا بِكَثْرَةِ الصَّوْمِ وَالصَّدَقَةِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. It was not because of excessive amount of riwayat or narrations or fasting or ibadat or what have you that he acquired this position. وَلَكِنْ بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ وَقَّرَ اللَّهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. But it was because of a certain thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planted in the heart of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that his rank was higher than everyone else. And obviously, what is it that Allah ta'ala planted in his heart? It was that spiritual treasure and the spiritual wealth that was planted in his heart that gave him that high position and rank, and we would say the superiority over all of the other companions is because of the spiritual side, the spiritual aspect, that is what gave him that high rank and position. Another example is that Sahabi who came in the presence and majlis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he entered, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to the companions that if any one of you want to see a man of Jannah, here he is. The Sahaba kiram, they turned around to see who it was, and they were surprised to see a person walking in who was considered an ordinary person in their midst. Second day, when he walked into the majlis, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to the Sahaba, if you want to see a man of Jannah, here is a man of Jannah. Allah Akbar. Third day, the same thing happened. So one Sahabi became very curious. He said, you know, I also want to become like him. I also want this glad tidings of Jannah. I need to see what he's reading and what he's doing, that I can do exactly the same thing and thereby I can earn my Jannah. So, he goes to the Sahabi and he says that, brother, you know, I wish to be your guest. He said, okay, fine, no problem. Hospitality is 3 days in Islam. And after that, then it's gate crashing or camping at somebody's house. So 3 days is hospitality. So he said, no problem, be my guest. So he stayed there and he was watching very, very carefully that what this person is doing. All whole time at night too, he's observing, trying to see what the man is reading, what zikr he's doing, what wazifa he's reading, but he found nothing. Person was like anyone else. He slept at night, he got up, he read his salahs, he did not read much nafil salah, he was not doing too much of other nawafil, nafil acts of ibadah, other than what everyone else was doing. So first day he said, no, maybe this person, you know, didn't do anything today. Maybe the next day, on the second day he'll be doing something. So he said, let me watch him. Second day he watched him and he was the same like the day before. He said, okay, maybe every third day he does something special. But by the third day he saw he did the same thing. So, at the end, now it's time for him to leave. He says, listen, brother, there was only one reason why I asked to be your guest. And that was, I wanted the secrets. Why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared you a Jannati? I want that secret because I also want to do the same thing. So the Sahabi says that, look here, I cannot think of anything that I am doing extraordinary in relation to anyone else. Everything is the same. But yes, one thing. My heart is forever clean. I don't ever bear any malice, hatred, or ill feeling for any Muslim in my heart. My heart is always pure and clean with regard to the Muslimin. I have no ill feelings for anyone. I don't have any bad thoughts of anyone. I don't have any kind of negativity towards anyone. My heart is always pure with regard to the Muslimin. And this sahabi says, that's the answer that I was looking for. It is on this basis perhaps that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has declared you to be from amongst the people of Jannah. So another example, that here is a person, maybe not engaging a lot in outward acts of ibadah, but the heart, Allahu Akbar, is clean, pure. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, rahmatullah alayhi, also an example, glaring example of a personality, that Hazrat was not the person who engaged a lot in nafil ibadat, other than the basic acts of nafil ibadah, tahajjud, ishraq, chash, awabin, the normal acts of ibadah. And Hazrat was not a person to be seen constantly in various acts of ibadah. In fact, most of the time he was giving majalis, writing taweezes for people who came to him. It was his sheikh, Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali, instructed him that if anyone comes and asks for you taweez for any difficulty or problem, then you should not refuse them. So Hazrat used to say that to write many pages of a kitab is easy for me, but to write one taweez is very difficult. But because it was the order of his sheikh, so Hazrat used to write for people who came to him with this problem, that problem. And that's a form of khidmah and service also to the public, the community. Of course, Hazrat was not a conventional amil that, you know, did all these amaliyat, etc. He would just write a taweez, and through his taqwa and his ikhlas and his power of yaqeen, Allah Ta'ala put such effect in it that many people found great benefit in what he wrote. But he was not a conventional amil that used to check patients and all of that and give them treatment. That was not his field. The Hazrat used to be engaged in these things here, and reprimanding people, rectifying their mistakes, making islah of people, calling them, punishing them if they did something wrong, reprimanding them very harshly if they did something out of place. This was giving waaz and bayan. This was his preoccupation, writing kitabs. But Allahu Akbar, such was the spiritual light and the spiritual the spiritual rank and status of Hazrat, that Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Ali beautifully explained. And he said, Ya Allah, I only wonder what kind of fire there must have been, the fire of ishq, in the heart of Hazrat Thanwi, that one heart lit up hundreds of hearts, and hundreds of hearts became aflame with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One can imagine what must have been the fire of that one heart that could have lit up so many hundreds of hearts. So we see that the Ahlullah, the Awliya Allah, the major emphasis was on the heart, the purification of the heart. And they did nafil ibadat, but the emphasis was not on nafil ibadat. The emphasis was not on too much of tasbihat and azkar. What was necessary, they did. But yes, the focus was on that heart that must become so pure and clean, that there mustn't be an iota of pride in that heart. There mustn't be an iota of show in that heart. There must not be an iota of jealousy in that heart. There must not be an iota of hubbe dunya or hubbe mal in that heart. There must not be an iota of greed in that heart. There must be not an iota of malice in that heart. There must not be an iota of ghaflat in that heart. That heart must be free of all these things, absolutely pure and shining. Because when that heart becomes like that, pure and shining like a mirror, then many people have had this experience, and alhamdulillah, I also had this experience myself, that when a person sat in front of Hazrat Masihul Ummat Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allahu Akbar, what a heart, what purity of heart, that whatever thoughts or ideas in your mind, when you sat in front of Hazrat, it was like you're sitting in front of a mirror. And before you can say one word, he will already tell you what you're thinking and what is in your mind and what you came to ask or what you came to find out. Obviously, it was not all the time, but many a times, these experiences, people have had countless experiences. Many a people came, for example, they traveled, they came to meet Hazrat from some other place, called quite a journey. They sat down. After they finished the discussion, because they traveled, they were feeling hungry. Suddenly, out of the blue, Hazrat would say, "Ha, bhai, shayad aap logo ko bhook lagi hai, khana bhi khana hai. Jao, wahan tayar hai khana, wahan jaake baith jao, khana khalo." Allah. Hazrat says, "You people may be hungry. You traveled now." In the man's heart, the thought was just going through now, that what we're going to do about lunch or where we're going to eat. And Hazrat already instructed, there's the dastarkhan is laid out. Go sit down in the mehman khana, wherever it was. Go and have your meals. There's just one example. And countless other such examples. Countless examples. Oh, Hazrat Masihul Ummat, one amongst the awliya Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him that power, that purity of the heart. Such was the purity of the heart that person went and sat in front of Hazrat, and it was as if Allah had given him that inner light of the heart that he could read the thoughts. And the proof of that is, before a person spoke anything, Hazrat already said, people say this kind of thing, people think like this nowadays, and you could feel sometimes very embarrassed that, look at these thoughts that I went with, and see what Hazrat has already picked up on his radar. He already picked this up, and he replied and responded. So nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the purity of the heart, the purification of the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shine our hearts, polish our hearts, and make our hearts like the hearts of the Ahlullah. Allah ta'ala make our hearts the hearts of the awliya Allah. And when that will happen, insha'Allah, then even with a little bit of ibadat, a person will go very, very high in spiritual rank. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ سَيِّدِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَبَارِكُ وَسَلِّمْ مَوْلَايَ صَلِّ وَسَلِّمْ دَائِمًا أَبَدًا عَلَى حَبِيبِكَ خَيْرِ الْخَلْقِ كُلِّهِمْ ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى ومن العمل ما ترضى اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وأموالنا من الربا وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم بارك لنا في شعبان وبلغنا رمضان اللهم بارك لنا في شعبان وبلغنا رمضان اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا ومن هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا qurrata ayun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarda. Allahumma jala akhiratana khairan min al-ula. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min kulli khair ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuna Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min kulli sharr ma sta'adhaka minhu nabiyyuna Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa antal musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min al-khair kullih, ajilihi wa ajili ma 'alimna minhu wa ma lam na'lam. Wa na'udhu bika min ash-sharri kullih, ajilihi wa ajili ma 'alimna minhu wa ma lam na'lam. Wa nas'aluka ma qadayta lana min qada'in an tajal 'aqibatahu rushda. Wa nas'aluka al-yusra wal mu'afata fid dunya wal akhirah. Allahumma yassir lana umurana ma'ar rahati li qulubina wa abdanina. والسلامة والعافية في ديننا ودنيانا وكن صاحبنا في سفرنا وخليفة في أهلنا واطمس على وجوه أعدائنا وامسخهم على مكانتهم فلا يستطيعون المضي ولا المجيء إلينا واجعل لنا من لدنك وليا واجعل لنا من لدنك نصيرا وكفى بالله وليا وكفى بالله نصيرا أنت ربي أنت حزبي أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة أفوض أمري إلى الله إن الله بصير بالعباد يا مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم الطف بنا في تيسير كل عسير فإن تيسير كل عسير عليك يسير اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم ما أصبح بنا من نعمة أو بأحد من خلقك فمنك وحدك لا شريك لك فلك الحمد ولك الشكر يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اصلح أحوال المسلمين اللهم اصلح نساء المسلمين اللهم اصلح شباب المسلمين اللهم اصلح ولاة أمور المسلمين اللهم اصلح أمة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر أمة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أكرم أمة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم بارك لنا في أسماعنا وأبصارنا وقلوبنا وأزواجنا وذرياتنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم واجعلنا شاكرين لنعمتك مثنين بها قابليها وأتمها علينا اللهم وحد بين صفوف المسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا وأصل ذات بيننا وأهدنا سبل السلام وأخرجنا من الظلمات إلى النور وجنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جميع الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم